Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
scales in terms of learning. This is a podcast while driving, so you'll hear driving noises, me comment on the traffic all of a sudden, so it's going to be rather difficult for you out there in podcast land to actually pick up what's going, because I'll be in the middle of a sentence, I'll go, oh, crikey, Christ, look at that. And of course, it's pointless getting you to look at things, but it's sort of just a natural way. So this podcast, I'm going to cover a more deeper concept of natural scales and what is the barrier for people to learn. Because I was just looking at natural scales for discussing the universe scales in quantum physics. This is, when I say scales, this is categorization systems. Categorization systems, say, in the Islamic state. There's a general way of categorizing things and just trying to actually sort of think through things. Now, I was watching Horrible Histories, which is a kids' program. And I don't know whether I'm just getting a bit more switched on or something like that, but they did a sort of Stone Age song, as they do, or very beautiful entertainment, very high-grade intellectual content for it, but it's sort of not thrown away, it's just, it's missed. The scales I was looking at is the Paleolithic, Mesolithic and Neolithic times. And I don't know exactly what defines, paleontology is probably referring to. What does Mesolithic mean? I don't know. That's an intermediate period between Neolithic. And Neolithic refers to new stone. So lithic means the use of Paleolithic means an old stone. Now, the interesting thing is that not necessarily there's a sort of a transition in the stones between just using stones and using flint. The Paleolithic time, it was hominids, but not humans, that were using tools. So discovery of tools is it's something that Homo sapiens walked into. So you can imagine the I have very much an idea of sort of natural variation in evolution, producing a wide range of solutions, and in your solution space, you suddenly have tools going along. So, if you can imagine, modern humans may have evolved several times, or towards what could have led to modern humans evolved several times, but a series of conditions were right for it to take off. So I think the solution of modern humans were identified, and there's these. Well, firstly about the lithic, I'm just trying to think in my head those terms mean. And of course, if you study Latin, litho means rock, as in lithium. And paleo, I don't quite know what paleo means, but mesosphere means between two things. Mezzanine is between, and neo means new. And so when you do that, you can automatically get a structure for these things. And it really means looking at these things and what defines these areas and what's the significance of it. Now, in learning, amazingly, all these sorts of areas I've encountered, but I haven't actually structured the template or the scaffold of my head like this paleo, meso, and neolithic regions. These are definitely the stone. If you're a lithic, you're a stone age. If you're in the lithic area, but what does it technically mean? So that's one scale, and I'm just thinking aloud if we could have a generic scaffold, so a meta scaffold for learning scales. That is, we've got a scale, people write it up, and you therefore learn scales. So in terms of like a conceptual tool, when you use it, and your arguments, and be able to identify things which don't belong. So I'm thinking of another, so that's a three-level scale. There's another scale basically with the atmosphere. You've got the troposphere, the stratosphere, thermopause, there's something called a mesosphere, there's a mesosphere in there, and then there's the exosphere. So all these things are different spheres. If there is a sort of generic, what I'm trying to think of is, if there is a generic scale system, if you can teach people not necessarily the art of learning scales, categorizations and learning scales, where that's going to be all that much good. One of the things is that people have a very few number of scales that they operate with in life, and so the other scales seem like gibbledygook to them, unless you've actually thought and structured your view of things, your interpretation of things on these different scales. They are indeed a foreign language. So the average person, I don't think, really knows troposphere, mesosphere, stratosphere. They don't know biosphere. They don't know how these scales interact together, because they don't have a methodology of storing the information with scales. They don't have a... It's just not important in their everyday life. And I just can think of just so many different categorizations where people just... It's just taught badly, and people just put it off to the side, and therefore they can't reason with it. They're not sort of taught to reason with it in terms of, say, for instance, rain, for instance, in terms of stratosphere, only appears... appears in the troposphere. We're able to use it's illiteracy, not being literate in the actual scales mean they're not able to assemble the information. Sort of like having the difference between having a box of socks and drawers of socks allows you to get that next level. It's just whether people aren't capable of it, or if you could have a system of doing it. So there's many examples of where not the scientific understanding, but the passport to making connections involved in actually using these sorts of scales. So one would want to know whether there are different tricks in teaching it in terms of how the different class techniques in that giving people different folios of different areas, and they have to sort themselves out into a scale. So the problem, you can sort problem solving with it. It just, I think these are poorly understood but critical for teaching. I don't think we really are teaching these things. So although, I don't know, there seems to be a lot more focus in terms of what the actual focus is on, say, infant education about history. There's more engagement. You know, can I engage? Can I feel? Can I work through some basic problems of the local area? So there's sort of engagement and relating that to their world. But it's just the interrelation of the actual knowledge itself. So they may learn a bit about the Stone Age, but not learn about the different. They're working off a basis that Stone Age people were the same species as humans, and so there is some truth that the Denisonians. So the Denisonians. Why are they called Denisonians? It sounds as though it's named after Denis. Indeed, that is. It was found in a cave, a monk's cave, and the monk's name was Denis, to go across. But to actually place the knowledge here, that another example is probably eras of history, how to actually get those eras of history and to actually say that this Denisonians, people who cohabited the cave of Denis many years prior, but have no genetic relationship to modern humans. Modern humans have some modern humans have a genetic relationships to Denisonians, but not. Now, the big question is, I've got the basic knowledge, but how do you actually have something which is a fundamental way of actually giving up knowledge in a way which is sort of semi-concrete? One of the things that I've done is looked at the scale problem from the outside, saying, what set of scales do I need to describe everything? So that's going, I think it's a set of 6 scales, from exploding everything by a billionth, making everything a billion times bigger, all the way to making things a billion times smaller, which is the sun is a meter across, to a trillion times smaller, to light. It's taking 1 millisecond, so 1, what is it, light, 1 light year is 1 millimeter, and a billion light years is a millimeter, so it's 1 light year and then a billion light years, and all that, you can actually describe all of nature, that set of scales. So the idea of a set of scales is one tool, but we really need a generic methodology in teaching scales, because at each time we sort of are measuring two things. One is, do they understand the information, and do they understand the actual use of scales? Here comes the big same areas. Poof, there's various chunks in the road here. I'll just move across out of this area to a more smooth road. I'm out on the M4 home. So look, just an observation that we need scale craft. So in a place where we need lots and lots of different physical scales, there is this methodology that I have, which I've broadcast before, about how to wrap up all physical scales in one overall hit. Limited. It's got two limits. On one limit, it's got Planck's constant, the smallest unit of angular momentum, and then on the other limit we've got time itself, from where time is. That's one set of scales, but then whenever you look at things, you have this category, this literacy. Now, there's a very strong literacy in terms of say traditions like Christmas. There's a sequence, there's Christmas Eve, there's Christmas, there's Boxing Day, blah blah blah, there's New Year's Day, there's a sequence. So there are certain things which, where the sequence is very critical to human activity. So I don't know, there's a sequence, a ceremony, which is obviously a sequence which confers some sort of passage. So when the sequence is actually part of the social thing, social things, social mechanics, that sequence has got a great value to it. So if it does, if it, that sequence is not followed, the recipe associated with that sequence, the programming associated with that sequence falls apart. So everyone is very, very focused. They know at the wedding ceremony you don't have the people kiss the bride and drive away in cars, and then after that the groom's person there's presenting rings. There's this pre-programming that the actual system creates the scaffold for going forward. I am a bit winging it here, but also, so you've got these social ceremonies and sequences, which is a strong point. You've got eating and sequence. So there's this general thing that you eat your ice cream and coffee after you have eaten your main meal, and you may eat antipasto or things before the main meal at the start. And the thing is that because people know that sequence, people know what to expect, and this is code to get across. So there's sort of this transactional knowledge with sequences, and it means that if there is a sequence that we love the story of a sequence, and so I have a sequence of Paleolithic, Mesolithic, and Neolithic, we can teach it, but it doesn't burn in because it's not a social transaction. So if, you know, it begs the thing that whether we can create games or declare the year. One thing we could do is declare the year of Stone Age history, and then so people would have so many months from 1 month, so from January up to say November Paleolithic, then a few weeks in November as Mesolithic, and then the last Neolithic. We'd be able to actually transplant into social convention various things. So you could have coins issued for those times, or letters, or addresses to parliament, or parties, or something. If you can understand that we've got the social machinery of events to actually to bind those events in, we could also have the I suppose human evolution. We could set, so we've got a time frame, and if you live through that time frame, you can describe it. And what's important is that people, it means that the rest of the knowledge is diffused in society, so various people know. So if you could have, say, book sales or whatever it is associated with it, that's one way of doing it. I don't know, the other thing is perhaps movies or something along those lines. That is, to declare the year of, and then to actually then, once you've got the year of something or other, you can actually break that year up to describe it, and then you can have a book, produce books, which is the year of. Now, I of course realise that the majority of things that I think and do don't work, so therefore it's intensely liberating. I can actually think of these bizarre things. The general idea is that there are these generic lists we generate which go from A to B in time and time aspect of it, and be able to actually build in an association with a social thing. So I'm just really trying to think we could actually have like here we're going up a hill heights. We could say on the side of the road, make it an educational road. Like we're going up this monocline here. I'm going up the monocline in a while. and I could, at the side of the road, indicate at certain heights what is, at the length of my road, I could actually have a series of signs and say, this represents sea level, this represents the cloud layer, this represents, and have a series of posters on the side of the road as I travel upwards. And when you, your travel up the road travels you up to outer space. So I can't see why we can't do that. That is linear scales that have social passage. So I've got to drive from here to here. You can actually suddenly see these levels. And what you could do is have these signs with pre-programmed information. Like, this is the ozone, you know, this have a colouring on the side of the road as you're going up to indicate where the ozone layer is. I just really, really try and think of it. One of the things that I wanted to do is have an eye caravan to educate about eyes. This is a big eye on wheels with a door on the side, so you can actually go inside the eye and see it operate as a camera in obscura while you're actually sitting inside the eye, and that this eye can actually travel to different schools. These are all ideas in the mix. We sort of tend to focus on only one solution set because of the actual highly political nature, competitive nature. So we say, which all makes good sense, we all say that we only want one particular idea to go out. But here, look, I'm travelling up. And, you could, I mean, there's obvious reasons why you can't do this, because, at least in Australia, advertising by the road is strictly regulated and prohibited. You're not allowed to actually put any sort of advertising on the road or any distraction. So that would be killed, not dead. But there might be other things you could do. You could have, perhaps have a steep walking track where the actual education material is included. So you could have people go to different things. So unfortunately, yeah, it's, I don't know, in Australia there is absolutely no advertising. There's obviously, if you're driving past a shop, you can the shop can have a shop sign, but it's sort of, and there's strict regulation. We've got a bridge where people hang advertisements of it, but you have to apply for a permit. You have to follow strict regulations. It's got to be bound in a certain way so the sign can't fall down. Here we've got sort of, like, there's occasional things. Now the local, I don't know, Bob Baron real estate person has developed a museum which he alone likes, and everyone, this is a museum which is worthwhile seeing. This is Australia in the Round, it's called, and he has got out of a 1930s idea of actually painting all the walls as different scenes of Australia. You can stand in the middle of it, and then you stand in this little area in the centre, and then there's sort of soil, and Australian soil on the way out. And then he's collected roadkill and stuffed roadkill. So you see all these different animals which have, at some stage, crossed the road at the wrong time in Kaka, and he's lovingly gone away. So he's actually managed to get an official road sign saying Australian Painted Panorama used Ross Street. And you've got a small sign saying Blue Mountains National Park, Glenbrook Entrance, but a bigger sign underneath it, the Australian Painted Panorama. So he's about to bridge it there. Here's another big sign. So it's trying to work out how you can actually structure. I've got to come over here on what you're doing. Whoops. Sorry, that was a section here. Okay, I'm going to pick up my kids here that's walking by. Thanks a lot for listening.
podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.